Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Man in America. I'm your host, Seth Holhouse. So I'm sure that you're seeing all over the place that Hollywood, the music industry, is being exposed. We're having stuff with P. Diddy and the ties to his Epstein-esque operations. We're having a lot of symbolism being shown. And there's even a recent video that we're going to be looking at today, a more viral video online of, I think it was Paul McCartney showing his, what looked to be Illuminati hand signs in a very, very obvious way. So the question that I have with a lot of this is, what's really behind this? What's really behind this? And there's a lot of people that want to simplify it into, hey, it's this group A or group B that control everything, but it's much more complex. And so joining me is Leo Zagami, someone that is a self-proclaimed ex-Illuminati who's now become a whistleblower, which is very interesting. And as he reveals in the discussion today, he actually was friends at one point with, I think, Anton LaVey, or not whether it's Anton LaVey or I think Aquino, Michael Aquino, the founder of the Temple of Set. So he has these ends, and his research is so complex, it's worth listening to. But he also, we do touch on the whole issue of Zionism and the threat of it and whatnot. And he provides, I think, some important perspective to it, which is, I mean, what I took away from it, and I'll let you watch, obviously, and take away what you want to take away from it, is just we can't simplify it. We can't simplify the complexities, especially of the evil in this world, into these very simple groups. It's layers upon layers, and there's secret societies hidden within secret societies that are controlling portions of religions and whatnot. So it's very complicated. So you may not agree with everything that Leo says, but I hope that it at least makes you scratch your head and say, that's worth considering. Let me research that some more. So, folks, please enjoy the interview with Leo Zagami. Hey, folks, I've got a quick message for you. So I'm sure you've heard a lot of people, myself included, talking about the importance of buying precious metals, gold and silver. But what's really behind that? Is it just a thing of, hey, buy this gold, buy this silver, right? Or is there something deeper that we should be looking at? So I recently came across some figures about house prices. So in 1930, the average family home was approximately $4,000. Fast forward to 2023, the average family home is just over $400,000. So you have to ask yourself, why is that? Is it because things have just gotten more expensive? No, it's actually because the dollar has lost 99% of its value since 1930, right? When people talk about the collapse of the dollar or inflation, this is what it means. Now, let's take a look at gold. So in 1930, if you wanted to purchase your home in gold, it would take approximately 200 gold coins. So 200 gold coins would purchase the average family home in 1930, about $4,000. Now, if you, instead of buying a home with that gold or cash, you set those aside, if you set aside $4,000 in cash in 1930, it would be worth $4,000 today. What can you buy with $4,000? Can you buy a family home? No, you can't even buy a crappy used car. But if you set aside $4,000 worth of gold coins in 1930, which is 200 gold coins, 1 ounce coins, that would be worth approximately $400,000 today. And this is the key lesson about precious metals. It's not about getting rich. It's about putting your money into an asset that protects you against inflation and against the destruction of the currency, which is what happens to all fiat currencies, especially now we're in the end days of the dollar. And so that's why it's important, maybe not all of your money, but a portion of your money, a portion of what you have, I highly recommend putting it into precious metals of gold and silver, because what it's doing is it's protecting you. This is an asset that has stood the test of time, not just stood the test of time since the 1930s. We're talking about the rise and fall of civilizations. Gold was used to buy houses back in ancient Rome. It's still around. It's an asset that will forever have its value. So folks, if you want to do this and you need someone you can trust, there's no person I can recommend more than Dr. Kirk Elliott. He's a very good friend of mine. He's a strong Christian patriot, and he's out to really help people to protect their savings and what you've worked for against the destruction of the dollar, not to mention also protecting it against the dangers of a central bank digital currencies. So to learn more about this, go to goldwithseth.com or call 720-605-3900. Again, that's goldwithseth.com or 720-605-3900. Both those places will allow you to set up a quick appointment where you can talk to a wealth advisor that will help get you started on this path. Again, goldwithseth.com, 720-605-3900. Leo, it is always interesting and quite an honor to have you on the show. So thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure. And I guess we will be discussing some interesting things today regarding one of my books. So
absolutely.
I'm available to just dig deep.
Exactly. And then first off, let me say congratulations, because you are now one of us. That American flag on your lapel, you're now, if I understand correctly, an American citizen, right?
Absolutely, since the 12th of March. So I'm very honored to be part of the American family and finally be free from those European technocrats which have tried to ruin my life. So I'm really eager to live the American dream. I know that it is under attack, but I would like to remind all our American friends that they are ever so lucky to have the most beautiful constitution in the world, and it's nothing really compared to what we have in Europe here. It's something incredible. So for me, it's an honor. Of course, like I said, we are in a moment in which these amendments are under attack, so we have to do everything to protect them. But still, compared to what I was living in Europe, here is freedom. So it's really a great sensation. And that's why I'm also formally detaching from my Italian citizenship and European in every way, shape or form, because it's important to not maintain two citizenships. I think you are swearing an oath of allegiance, and you have to really conduct yourself correctly in defense of the country you have now embraced.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So, you know, you're talking about the American dream, and what is the American dream in the American culture without Hollywood? And there's a lot to talk to. And I think that for a lot of folks that are watching, they grew up not just with Hollywood, but the music industry, you know, shaping our lives, whether it was, you know, like, you know, talking to my parents, they remember when the first Star Wars came out and the lines, you know, to the movie theater. They remember when the particular Beatles album came out, or when the Led Zeppelin album came out, the summer of 73 or whatever it is. And this is ingrained in our culture. But I think that a lot of us are now realizing that these entities, these massive corporations, this structure of Hollywood, the entertainment industry, has also been used against us. It's been used to push very evil satanic messaging into us, and has been used to control us in some very, very dark and bad ways. And I know that's something that you know a lot about. And so I want to start our discussion by pulling up, there's a couple of videos I have for folks today, but one is this video of Paul McCartney, right? I think everyone, I'd say every single person watching, listening to the show knows who Paul McCartney is. Such an influential figure. And there's obviously the history of the Beatles that relates to the Tavistock Institute and all of that stuff, but there's also much deeper, which what this video is showing is it's a video of Paul McCartney sitting down, and what the person who shared the video says, and this is going viral on Twitter, is it's him showing his allegiance to the Illuminati. And given that you were once part of the Illuminati and now you're really a whistleblower, I want to get your take on this. So I'll play the video quickly. It's a short video, then we can talk about it. So this is it right here. What an odd thing to do when sitting down. Like, that's not a normal, just straightening your jacket. It's very clear, and I apologize for the people listening to the audio. He sits down, and he makes the triangle. He makes that specific triangle that we see Jay-Z do and whatnot. So when you see that, what is he doing? What is Paul McCartney doing? What's he communicating? Why is he doing that? Is it accidental? Is it intentional? What do you make of that?
Well, we have singers who are more outspoken about their membership. For example, with Freemason, we have Phil Collins, who has been a Freemason for a long time. Paul McCartney has been a student of the occult since the middle of the 60s. In the second half of the 60s, with John Lennon, they really went into a study and a discovery, a self-discovery, which was also a study of the occult. I described this in Volume 8 of my Confessions, how they first encountered the first occult books in one of in a bookshop, a specific bookshop in London, how they started this path of at times self-initiation, but also of self-realization and of wanting to join all those people who in that period were pushed towards the East. You know that at one point they ended up, as we all know, with a guru in India, and that was also part of this whole thing. The Beatles are, of course, the product of their age, but also the product of a record label, EMI. EMI itself was a product of the Second World War, because it is basically a record label, but during the war, it was also much more. I mean, these record labels, also RCA, they develop from the military industrial complex into our lives. And for that reason, Paul McCartney became at the pinnacle of his glory. Of course, he made money and all that, but he was also trying to launch a message, a very specific message with John Lennon. And that message, of course, was anti-Christian, as you remember. We are more popular than Jesus Christ was the kind of a catchphrase of that era. The Beatles more popular than Jesus Christ. They were embracing that tendency that had been already for the last 100 years pushed upon the West more and more by the Theosophical Society. For those people who don't know, the Theosophical Society is an organization that was founded in America in 1875, but with tentacles all over the British Empire, by Madame Blavatsky, herself born in Ukraine and connected also to the Russian Imperial Secret Service, the Oshrana. So we have, of course, musicians, artists that we view as artists in a naive way, like you said at the beginning of the show. You know, we tend to say, well, this is part of Americana. Hollywood is part of Americana. The music business that is built around Hollywood is part of Americana. But it's at the same part, at the same point, is part of Americana also the fact that these institutions, all of them within the entertainment world, cinema rather than music, or music rather than cinema, they are all built also for propaganda reasons. So, that's why at the beginning they didn't even want the Beatles to play in certain countries, or there was, you know, they were complaining about it, for example, in certain countries about the way that they were pushing themselves like almost sex idols. Well, actually sex idols, but the whole thing was also dramatically recreated, artificially recreated. These women that we remember when the Beatles arrived in America, they were like tearing their hair apart, and they were, it was all set up, it was all organized, they were all paid, they were all made to do that. And in order to then launch this frenzy across society, which, of course, in America saw already the protagonist with Elvis Presley. So there was already an attempt that had been made since the 50s to break the values of traditional society. You see, when we talk about propaganda, after the Second World War, there was that peace and calm that generated the typical first stage of the American dream, which I still, many people like to remember. Nowadays, unfortunately, at times the American dream, because of fentanyl, homelessness, and all that, becomes an American nightmare when we go into the American suburbs. But back then, the actual way of living was portraying perfection and also traditional values, until, of course, these traditional values were mined, were sabotaged, and LSD crept in the Hollywood machine, more and more drugs then. With record labels, more drugs meant also more control over the artist, making them dependent on these drugs. And at times, these drugs open portals with the unknown. They open you to different way of thinking, and they open you almost inevitably to the occult. So that's really what happened, I think, from the second half of the 60s onwards, also in the music business. Then you have, of course, the cinema. Cary Grant, for example, experimenting with LSD became an almost fashionable thing that had to be done by everybody. But like I said, Token Portals, it generated a different kind of society. And all this was planned behind the scenes by the Tavistock Institute that you mentioned earlier, which, of course...
Folks, perhaps you'd agree with me when I say that over the past 5 years, the mainstream healthcare system's credibility has plummeted. Alternative healthcare systems that aren't beholden to medical consensus or big pharma are on the rise. Sweetamine is time-tested and proven to boost your life with better health. It's one of the leading products that helps with inflammation and daily aches and pains. Just because you get older, it doesn't mean that you have to feel old. And folks, did you know that most of the diseases that make people sick and die these days are rooted in chronic inflammation, oftentimes due to glycine deficiency? So sweetamine is composed mainly of the amino acid glycine, the nutrient that the immune system uses to regulate inflammation. So with once daily sweetamine, most people feel the reduction in pain after just a few days. So I challenge you to the 12-day sweetamine challenge to fight inflammation and take control of your health today. So folks, buy sweetamine online at sweetamine.com or call 855-GET-SWEET. That's 855-438-7933. And make sure you use promo code Seth, S-E-T-H, to get a nice discount on your purchase.
Like I write in my book, In Volume of My Confessions, it takes its initial experiment to the British Empire at that time, the Commonwealth, whatever, whatever they were controlling. But then Aldous Huxley was brought here into the American setup. And here he was eventually used for MKUltra. He was used for those programs of mind control and manipulation, for the geoengineering of the masses. And so music, and it's something that we all love and we all enjoy, but it is primary tool of propaganda. I mean, I think an example on all the others can be Richard Wagner for Adolf Hitler. He himself enjoyed since the first stages of Nazism a very special friendship with the Wagner family. He himself understood that there was also an esoteric element to that to those plays that Richard Wagner had put together. So they formed in Bayreuth in Germany a sort of milieu of Illuminati who were trying to revamp also what Adam Weishaupt had initially started there. So this is basically what's happening here. We have also the Frankfurt School, which of course was kicked out of Germany at one point because they realized the dangers of this Frankfurt School, but they ended up being unfortunately imported here in the United States. And here in the United States, of course, they gradually became the seeds of what will become eventually the woke movement of today. So I think that Paul McCartney doesn't leave anything to chance. He is, of course, being nobilitated at the time by the Queen in a very, I think, public performance. Everybody knew that they had been nobilitated by the Queen. And that was really also another thing that I explained in Volume 8 of My Confession, that the British royal family in all this has a very important function and role. They are responsible not only as the people control Great Britain, and of course they formally controlled the British Empire that then became the Commonwealth, but they are also in charge of British Freemasonry. Traditionally, the United Grand Lodge of England is connected to the British royal family. The Grand Master itself is used, well, of course, the cousin of the Queen that just deceased, and related to King Charles. Freemasonry is awarded is regularity, between brackets, only if you are in amity with the United Genealogy of England. So, for example, around the world, if you have other forms of Freemasonry, either they are connected to the Grand Orient of France, which at one point broke up from the English network, creating their own even more atheistic vision of Freemasonry, while instead England retained the more theistic. And this was also what happened at the end of the 19th century. Freemasonry kind of broke into two factions because of the infiltration that there was, especially in the French branch of Freemasonry, present the Sabbatean Frankist movement, which is a movement I discuss very much about also in Volume 8 of my Confessions regarding Hollywood, because Hollywood is always accused of being the mouthpiece of some hidden Zionist lobby, while instead, if we have a more intellectual approach to this question, we understand that it is the Sabbatean Frankists that have nothing to do with the Zionists. The Zionist itself is a concept that we could discuss for a whole show, so I don't want to annoy you with that. But Theodor Herzl initially founded the State of Israel idea out of necessity because they were persecuted. So while instead, soon after he founded this World Zionist Congress, he was infiltrated by the Sabbatean Frankists, people who believe in the ideas of people like Moses S., who was a communist thinker, who actually taught to Karl Marx the very ideas that are at the basis of that monstrosity we call communism. So Sabbatean Frankist is not just some kind of heresy. Of course, in my books, I explain in detail, including the last one, Volume 9, but I started already with Volume 4, explaining the connections between Freemasonry, the Sabbatean Frankist, who were very important in generating some of the most influential ideas, because they were in charge of some of the most influential lodges of Freemasonry, of the Illuminati. They created at the end of the 18th century an order called the Asian Brethren that will end up influencing the birth of the Bohemian Club. So this is very important for the people to realize at the moment, because otherwise it's a very simplistic way of saying like Kanye West and blaming it all on the Jews. It's too simplistic. You should never blame everything on an ethnicity, on a race of some kind, because it's a very ignorant way of doing things. One instead, you know, we have, for example, good Catholics who are Catholics who didn't believe in some of the changes that were implemented by the Second Vatican Council. So if you generalize and say the Catholics are all bad or the Catholics are all evil, that's wrong too. So in every situation, you have to pinpoint where the heresy is coming from. And in the Jewish world, Sabbatai Zevi, who was a self-proclaimed Messiah, who received at one point the attention of almost half of the Jewish population that used to be alive back then, and then at one point shocked the world by converting publicly to Islam, by starting, though, a new current of crypto-Judaism, first within Islam, which then became the Domé, and Ataturk was part of them. And then we have the Jacob Frank, who thought he was the reincarnation of Sabbatai Zevi a century later, who himself instead converted outwardly to Catholicism and brought a bunch of Jews to convert to Catholicism, but in reality they were all practicing the Sabbatean heresy. And the Sabbatean heresy became the basis of the structure of many secret societies, because there was Max Theon, the guy who basically was the mentor of Madame Blavatsky, was a Sabbatean. We have many other Sabbatean Frankists involved within the realm of secret society. Adolphe Crémieux, who was himself at one point an important politician, but he was also a very important lawyer into the Damascus affair, which is a very important moment in which the we start an unjust persecution of the Jews because of unjust accusations back, and here we are talking about the middle of the 19th century. But Adolf Cremieux was himself a lawyer who was employed by the Montefiore Rothschild mafia in London. But at the same time, it was Adolf Cremieux who gave the birth to, with other people, to that Alliance Universelle of Israelite Universelle, which was basically this universal alliance of Jews, which was in a way the first organization to bring together the idea of literally going back to Israel. But at the same time, they had probably more sinister plans than Theodor Herzl himself. And so paradoxically, Zionism actually comes to save us from this initial Jewish plot that was not a Jewish plot, but was a Sabbatean Frankist plot, because Adolf Cremieux became the sovereign commander of French Freemasonry, of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite. And when he did the Lausanne meeting of all the supreme councils of the Scottish Rite, in that meeting, actually, even Albert Pike was outraged about the results of that meeting. He said, these people are abandoning Christ, anything, they will have a phallus as a symbol in their lodges soon. And that was where Aleister Crowley comes into the mix, because you see, Aleister Crowley is often seen as the father of sex magic and all these perversions, but actually he was just simply taking on board the perversions that were already practiced and outlined by Shabbatai Zevi. Those sexual magical orgies, all those distorted practices that basically distorted the Kabbalah in favor of a distorted version of the Kabbalah, are all due to the Sabbateans. So Aleister Crowley simply was reiterating what was already done in the Jewish world. And when he himself came to Hollywood, like I explained in Volume 8 of my Confessions, he saw, wow, what a bunch of degenerate cocaine. These people are outrageous. I mean, we're talking about Aleister Crowley here, the guy who basically, just a few years after he said this, opened an hub in Sicily where he had on the wall, drink out of my satanic brain, cognac and do cocaine as a motto on the walls of his hub. I mean, he was a great pervert, and he actually enjoyed this sinister early Hollywood environment. And so, let's say he was not really reprimanding them when he was saying, you know, oh, what a bunch of... He was actually complimenting them, saying, wow, you know? But to actually have impressed somebody like Aleister Crowley on his first visit to Hollywood, it means that Hollywood was pretty degenerate kind of place. And we know a lot of these early stages of Hollywood from Kenneth Anger. Kenneth Anger passed away not so long ago. During my time in the Illuminati, I was in direct correspondence with him. I had the possibility of actually having a sort of friendship for a while I was involved with the Illuminati. So I can say that the guy was very knowledgeable about things. But at the same time, of course, he was a full-on Luciferian and Satanist that had participated also in the foundations of the Church of Satan with Anton LaVey, who had been around Roman Polanski, who had influenced Hollywood's most darkest films. I think that you will not have probably David Lynch without Kenneth Anger. So just to give you an explanation of what kind. So Kenneth Anger was an honorary ninth degree of the OTO. He had been a disciple of various people that had been close to Crowley. He himself didn't have the possibility because he was probably, I don't think even too young, because he was very active from a very young age. And in the 50s, he was the first one to go back to that abbey of Telema in Cefalù in Sicily to film it and the remains of it. Kenneth Anger was, of course, also the magician who inspired the Rolling Stones. who inspired the second part of the 60s, where the Beatles then placed on their album cover for Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart, Aleister Crowley. So going back to your first question about the Beatles and Paul McCartney, it's quite funny the way that the media portrayed this animosity between the bad boys and the good boys. So you had the good boys who were supposed to be the Beatles, but then you have the cover of Sgt. Pepper and you go and check it out. And there we have Aleister Crowley on top of the various faces with this weird smear. And then we have, of course, on the other side, the Rolling Stones that were portrayed instead as the real evil people. And they apparently were influenced by Kenneth Anger when they did the Sympathy for the Devil track. Crowley, you can go up on the left. You can see him very up there on the left. The second one on the left up there, you can...
The bald
if you
guy.
Want to do a close-up of Aleister Crowley and his bald head. Of course, that is a photo of Crowley in his later years, rather than his younger self. But he is definitely present amongst the influential people of all times that the Beatles are portraying in this album cover.
And so when
the image of the good versus bad that the media wanted to portray of the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, they were all part of the same plot.
I see. And so when McCartney sits down like that, right, as we talked about, I'll just kind of show that one more time. So when he sits down and holds his hands up like this, right, what is he communicating with that in particular? Why is he doing that? Folks, how do you feel? Me, I feel great. And one of the reasons I believe I feel better is because I take Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule. They have an amazing story how this product was developed by Dr. Douglas Howard. It's right there on their website. Balance of Nature receives over 1,000 success stories every single month. They have hundreds of thousands of customers who've purchased billions of capsules of their fruits and veggies over the past 20 years. You should check it all out on their website. Their products are gluten-free and non-GMO, and they contain no added sugars or synthetics. I think if you're looking for something to make you feel better naturally, you should definitely give Balance of Nature a try. In fact, order today. Whether you order online or call them direct, you must use the promo code SETH, that's S-E-T-H, to get this special offer of 35% off, plus $10 off any additional sets, plus free shipping and the money-back guarantee. So call them at 800-246-8751 and use discount code SETH, or order online at balanceofnature.com and use discount code SETH to get 35% off.
Well, I mean, he's doing it as a show of, I think, both respect. He is part of this philosophy. We are talking here about the symbol that he's portraying is being the eye of Horus. So Horus is the son of Osiris. Horus is fundamental in the religion of Thelema, because Aleister Crowley, as I explain in Volume 8 of my Confessions, you see, we have here some really diabolic synchronicity going on. In the year in which Aleister Crowley was evoking the forces of darkness in the middle of the desert somewhere in Northern Africa, you had also the first film being shot in Hollywood. And earlier on, in 1904, Crowley had gone to Egypt during his honeymoon with Rose, who was his wife. And strange things happened because Crowley wanted to impress his wife. But at the same time, Crowley had interrupted the magic of Abramelin the Mage. He had started a year prior to that in Boleska in Scotland. So now people, of course, who are following you say, well, what is all this? What was he doing in Boleska? What happened was this. Crowley became a member of the Golden Dawn. The Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn is a secret society that was very fashionable back then in Victorian times. It had seen the membership of some of the most important intellectuals, military, all kinds of people that were influential will join the Golden Dawn, mainly from the ranks of Freemasonry. Some of them, though, not necessarily. Crowley is always accused of not ever being a member of regular Freemasonry, but in reality, the boundaries between set up nowadays by regular Freemasonry that prohibit intervisitation and all that were a little bit more difficult to establish back then, because he got irregularly initiated, but then he was able to go into the regular lodges simply signing with a false name and just having a worship or master of that lodge, closing an eye and knowing exactly who he was. And there is testimonies of Crowley doing that more than once in the United Kingdom Lodge of England, because they had accused him of not having been initiated regularly. And when he sought regular initiation, he ended up being initiated in the Grand Lodge de France, which at the time briefly was still regular, but then joined the Grand Orient of France in that network, which I explained earlier, kind of detached from the British network. So Aleister Crowley in 1904 was practicing this magic of Every Man in the Mage, which had been translated by his mentor who was in Paris, who was though MacGregor Mathers. MacGregor Mathers had translated with Crowley and had published a grimoire the year prior to 1904 it was one of these grimoires. You have the Legemeton, you have these grimoires that basically are all allegedly connected to King Solomon, okay? But they all kind of appeared between, let's say, in the late part of, let's say, in the medieval times, they started to surface, but then they really surfaced during the Renaissance, predominantly they had as a feature that kind of puts them all in common, the fact that King Solomon was seen as the one who had some secret knowledge. So these grimoires were always saying the keys of Solomon, the keys, the secrets of Solomon. It was all very Solomonic magic. That was the thing. And of course, we're going back to the fact that who might have taken advantage of all this. The Sabbatian Frankists were, of course, Jews. They knew exactly what Solomonic magic might, and how to manipulate also the people outside of the Jewish world by maybe twisting things that would be judged as heretical and outrageous within the Jewish community. In any case, Aleister Crowley and MacGregor Mathers translated this grimoire. Crowley had the intention of practicing one of these prayers, the invocation of the Boneless One, within the Great Pyramid of Giza in front of his wife to impress her. He starts the recitation, they sleep. It was possible for rich people who came from Europe to book a night inside the Giza Pyramid. If you had a little wanting to leave the trail of I personally myself went there and I never wanted to either sleep there or even go in there. I stayed outside. I was kind of warned even by the Sufi people there that were, they actually invited me to go with them and pray and I refused though. In any case, Crowley instead went inside there and in front of his new wife started to practice this to recitate this grimoire, and suddenly after a while from this, I would say, highly demonic experience, because it was highly demonic what he was trying to do inside that that pyramid. Let's remember one thing. The pyramids, on the contrary of what people might think, are not only a burial chamber of sorts. They have been used in ancient times for initiations to the pharaohs, to the high priest, of Memphis, and then before that of Alexandria, and there is basically the a way to achieve below what is above. It's a reflection, no? It teaches by the Emerald Tablets, which are at the basis of hermeticism. So Crowley recites this thing, and suddenly the wife goes in trance, starts saying, they want to talk to you, they want to talk to you. And he's drawn to the Cairo Museum, where at exhibit number 666, he finds what he was searching for. And that was the message of the gods for him, that basically were telling him that he will be delivering something new to the world, a new religion, that he will be dictated. And this happened in the month of April, not of 1904. He will be dictated in a number. It's a little bit, I think, that what's happening here, we can see that Crowley, and this is something that I will be focusing a lot, of course, in my new book, Volume 10, that is about to come out. He got very much inspired by Islam, and his relation with Islam is very close. People don't really know about Crowley and Islam, and how Islam inspired the birth of his own religion of Thelema, which then became the religion of the Illuminati. So, in fact, today, the most influential organization that is claiming to represent Aleister Crowley, and actually won all the in court, so they are the ones who take all the money for the copyrights and everything else, it calls itself the OTO Caliphate. And initially, the people used to always say that the American intelligence had sent this guy called Grady McMurtry to Crowley to learn things, and because he was basically operating from California, California Caliph, it kind of sounded good to Crowley, this mix, to mix the two things. The fact that his most influential lodge of the Ordo Templi Orientis that you're showing was in California, and so Caliph, California, it kind of, but then at the same time, the heads of the Ordo Templi Orientis started to behave like Muslims and wear the turban and be. So it's a little bit weird what's happening here, because you have an organization that also claims to have a religious arm, which is the Ecclesia Gnostica Cattolica. So they come from that Gnostic milieu of the Illuminati, which basically the Gnostics are the Illuminati that just evolve and add different elements. And Crowley, in that symbol that you just shown, has, if you can show it again, I can describe, you see, for example, here you have the symbolism of his own sexual magic. The cup, the Holy Grail, which becomes then for Crowley the vagina. I'm sorry to be very... we have the dove that is going in like this. That is supposed to be the sperm. And then on top of all that, you have the Eye of Horus, which was the symbol that Paul McCartney was giving. So I think that we have given the answer in a very detailed manner.
It comes full circle. It's incredible. And I wanted to just mention one thing you mentioned earlier. You're talking about people saying, oh, it's all the Jews, or it's all this. I find that a lot of people, especially here in America, I think based upon a lot of the Hollywood training of good guy, bad guy, we make things very black and white, and it's not. It's not just one group.
It's very, for me personally, you see, I came here to America, and I was collaborating actively with InfoWars a lot, and I still, held in high esteem the work that InfoWars has done in the past, and also helped me in spreading what was my research. But at one point, they themselves kind of put a break on all that, because I was trying to really dig deep always, and I was trying to explain that things are not so black and white. I was very critical of the fact that they gave the space to Kanye West to spill all that anti-Semitic nonsense. And I think that is really stupid to side, you know, like without really knowing what's happening in the Middle East with one side or the other. And that's why I'm about to release volume 10, which will silence everybody, because there is more than 1,000 years of history regarding Islam, regarding also the West, and an alliance that has been going on for a long time secretly behind the scenes. But Hollywood is in a way also a product of all this. And you see, when we talk about Hollywood, we have to understand that the first people to launch Hollywood and to make movies were very controversial people. Very controversial people that, in a way, today will probably not have any kind of space in Hollywood. Hollywood was a place of compromise, because when you think about, for example, Charlie Chaplin, one of the very, I mean, here we're talking about a guy who people really don't know much about his origins.
Folks, I have a quick message for you. Look, the 2024 election is do or die for the globalists and communists that have infiltrated our country and are currently running it. And they either have to win or they're going to destroy America so nothing is left either way. And if you're the person that's watching this show and following this information, unfortunately, you have the weight on your shoulders of making sure that your family is prepared, especially as we head in to this next year and this next election cycle, because unfortunately, I think it's going to get rough. And one of the ways I know they're going to target us is through our food supply. You can see all the food factories burned down. You can see the warnings of coming famines and food shortages and everything like that. And food is one of the number one ways totalitarian regimes have always used to control the population, is destroy the food supply. So if you don't have at least 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months worth of stored food, I highly recommend you take that very seriously, because look, as I mentioned, if you're the person that's watching this, you're the person that carries the burden of making sure your family is prepared. I would recommend at least 6 months, if not a year, of storable food. So if things go haywire, whether it's grid down or terrorist attack from what's coming across the border, that your family can safely stay in place and you can feed your family. So folks, today, go to heavensharvest.com and make sure you get your storable food that'll last for up to 25 years. Just in case things go south, you know that you have what's going to take to feed your family, which is so, so critical for us to get through this next stage of history. So go to heavensharvest.com today, order your food that'll last up to 25 years, and use promo code Seth to save 15% on your entire order. Again, that's heavensharvest.com, and use promo code Seth, S-E-T-H, to save 15% on your entire order.
And apparently his origins are within that Sabbatean world, and he himself was unfortunately accused, but actually there is also evidence of pedophilia practices from somebody who everybody tends to think, oh wow, this is the hero, this is the guy who has enacted the dictator Adolf Hitler and who has basically derided Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler was another product of the Sabbatean Frankists. Rabbi Malvin Alterman, and this is something that I also bring up in my books, has stated there is a lot of evidence that he was himself the product of actually a Sabbatean Frankist ritual in 1888, that he himself was not only of Jewish origins, like has been claimed many times, but that he was a product of that Sabbatean Frankist milieu. And so, I mean, imagine the ridiculousness of somebody like Kanye West who shows the swastika. Where does this swastika come from? Now, the swastika is a symbol that Adolf Hitler found in the cover of a publication by Franz Hartmann and of the Theosophical Society. The Theosophical Society basically was the first one to use the swastika in all the publications also of Madame Blavatsky. And Madame Blavatsky, I think, has done more for ruining this planet than anybody else. I think that Anton LaVey, in comparison, is a wannabe. I think that Michael Aquino also. And actually, when I was friends with Michael Aquino, because I was friends with the late Michael Aquino before, of course, exiting the Illuminati, he himself he confessed me in an email that I published, I think, in volume two of my confession, that his most cherished thing was the membership of the Theosophical Society. So, you know, it's about understanding all these nuances and these things. Otherwise, you know, you are ignorant like Kanye West and you start parading swastikas, accusing all the Jews of being this and that. No, it's not. That's not the case. And that's why I went on InfoWars one of the last times I was their guest on one of their shows when I presented Volume 8 of my confessions. And I said, this is a book that Kanye West should read to really understand what is going on in Hollywood. And we need to have a talk about it, because otherwise this growing anti-Semitism is becoming really outrageous. I mean, I understand what happened in Gaza is very difficult to understand for many people. But the problem is they don't have a knowledge of the Middle East. They never been in the Middle East. I have been in the Middle East. I have been in Turkey. I've studied with the Sufis. I was part of Islam for at one point of my life, unfortunately, when I actually ended up marrying my first wife and having my kid that I never saw again. Now, I don't know if I should say this, but I might give you a scoop here that just to touch you on one of the most important revelations that I make in my new book. Because it touches me personally. My son was taken and is in the hands of the most important Muslim member of the World Economic Forum. And I haven't seen him since early 2008. We have the evidence. So this is not a speculation. My former wife remarried with the guy who is on Klaus Schwab's site as the senior Muslim representative. I don't need to add anything else about the relevance and the importance of my books. Because people can talk as much as they want on these channels, but nobody has given up their own son Klaus Schwab. So I leave it here for people to learn more about my own experience with Islam as Khaled Saifullah Khan, that was my name. And then you will be judging what's really going on behind the scene. So stop doing all those idiotic anti-Semitic things against Israel, which is trying to survive. I understand that Israel was constructed thanks to the British Israel mythology and all that. But in the end, they are a nation that exists and that has the right to exist, because we have been persecuting those people all over the world and pushed them towards Israel. And so now they are there. We shouldn't ever, ever, ever attack them in any way, shape, or form. And so I know very well what Islam has planned together with the Illuminati, and I will be unveiling it soon. And at that point, it's up to you if you want to continue to, you know, like all these colleagues like Alex Jones who want to continue not understanding that supporting in any way, shape, or form Hamas or the Palestine cause is completely outrageous and not acceptable. So, of course, we understand that Israel is compromised. Israel is in the hands partly of the labor Zionists who are a product of the Sabbatean Frankists. So, of course, they are compromised. And probably that compromise is what people tend to misunderstand and then blame everything on the Zionists, on the big conspiracy, no, that then is ever so popular since the protocols of the Elders of Zion came into existence. So when I talk in volume 8 about Jewish Hollywood, I talk about the Sabbatean Frankist Hollywood, I talk about those elements of the Sabbatean Frankist world that, thanks to this mouthpiece, were able to influence our lives. I mean, just watch that Sabbatean heretic Woody Allen. I mean, that guy shouldn't be even close to a synagogue or to anything resembling a proper interpretation of Judaism. In fact, he's not. You have to understand that he's a product, like many other Jews today, of so-called progressive liberal Judaism that took shape and form. And I'm not saying this myself, but some of the most eminent Jewish historians say that because of the Sabbatean Frankist movement. So
what's interesting I'll throw out there is that, you know, I'm learning a lot from you, and I appreciate all the different perspectives and why I do is I try to listen to a lot of different people and piece together. But one thing I've also come to in my own understanding is that you're right. It's never just this blanket label. And actually, a lot of the people I think that are evil and satanic and Luciferian, they hide behind things. And so to say, it's like, okay, are there a lot of very evil people within the Jewish religion, so-called Jews, that have a lot of power and control and they're pushing very satanic agendas? Yes. But to say that, like, it's the Jews that run Hollywood and therefore, like, it's almost like saying the Chinese are evil. It's like, no, the CCP and the communists are evil, but just because you're Chinese doesn't mean that you are an evil communist. A lot of the Chinese,
that's why it's happening in the Catholic world. The Sabbatean Frankists who run the Jews in Hollywood are simply a sect.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit stupid also of people. And here I would like to clear up another thing. I have a book, which is actually not mine, but it's a book that I think people should read about that misled, misunderstood thing that circulates often in a conspiracy circle about the Jews of Khazaria. The Jews are Khazarians and the Khazarians are plotting. Listen, guys, like this book demonstrates, there is no DNA of the Khazarians because the Khazarians are not a race, an ethnicity that was Jewish from the start. They simply embraced Judaism for a specific period of time. They are not the ancestors of the Ashkenazi. The Ashkenazi come from another part of the world, from another part of Europe, which is Germany mainly, the heart of Europe there, the Northern Europe. And we have the Sephardic Jews, but there is no Khazarian Jews. There's no race. And this book is based on DNA studies and everything that basically people tend to ignore. In fact, Kevin Allan Brook has done an excellent job. I think it is important that people don't generalize, but also don't fall in conspiracy theories that are rather stupid in the end, because this Khazarian thing has been debunked a million times, but people tend to not understand it. Oh, They are all evil. The Ashkenazis are all the Ashkenazis. Okay, fine. So now all the Ashkenazis are evil. No. The Ashkenazi, the Rothschild family. Yeah, maybe. We have an Ashkenazi family that has done evil. That's okay. Fine. But we have also families of Methodists, families of Evangelists, families of Catholics, families of Hindus that have done evil. So it's important to really not generalize stupidly, especially when it comes to races, ethnicities, and I think that that's what I'm trying to do with my books is to put some clarity in these questions that a lot of people have.
Well, it's much more complex. So I have one final thing I wanted to touch upon with you, just one other video. So you talked about Anton LaVey, right? So the founder of the Church of Satan, this guy right here, who's also on the cover of the Beatles album we talked about. So there's a...
That is Aleister Crowley was in
Canada. Oh, sorry.
Anton LaVey was a Aleister Crowley disciple who disillusioned by Crowleyanity in the early 60s. He was part of a Crowley group active in Berkeley, and that then moved on to then found the first Grand Lodge of the OTO in 1977. But Anton LaVey, he liked Crowley, but he thought Crowley was a little bit too complex for the masses. He wanted to bring Satanism to a more poptastic approach. And that poptastic approach needed to go through movies, cartoons, and needed to be developed in a way that people could understand. And that's why he wrote his Satanic Bible, which eventually became one of the most read books in the United States, sadly, after the Bible. So the satanic approach of Anton LaVey, in 1966, he founds this Church of Satan, and it's the first stage of modern Satanism. I find that, like I say in my books, the modern Satanism has three stages. 1966, 1974-75 with Michael Aquino founding the Temple of Set. And I describe in Volume 8 of my Confessions that Hollywood was deeply involved with this whole thing that then brought Aquino and LaVey to separate. Because Michael Aquino and Anton LaVey wanted to know what happened to Marilyn Monroe. So one night they did a ritual. They went to the former house of the actress, and they wanted to know if she had been killed or not by evoking her spirit. So they did, like I described. This is, by the way, it's a citation that I, in my book, you can find that are from reliable sources within, of course, Michael Aquino's writings or Ward or Church and everything else. So this experience ended up with them in this temple in the morning after. And because it was successful, it was so successful, this experience, Anton LaVey awarded Michael Aquino the title of Magister Templi, which was had been given to nobody outside of himself. So he claimed to be the only Magister Templi, the only master of the temple. So he makes Michael Aquino Magister Templi, and the day after he was made Magister Templi, Michael Aquino walks away and says, I'm going to create my own thing closer to Crowley rather than closer to the people and all that poptastic stuff of going on TV like Anton LaVey used to do and parading as he was, you know, just bringing Satanism to the masses in an innocent way where the only evil thing they were doing was basically showing a naked woman on the altar, and everything else was just not true. They were not sacrificing animals or people or anything. Now, we know instead that Anton LaVey was also connected to real Satanism behind the scenes. He had a public facade, and then he had a secret life. But then we also know one thing. Michael Aquino went on to create a diabolic organization that probably influenced more the military by initiating within his group officers, most of them military intelligence officers initially. And they went on to do a couple of rituals in the 80s, thanks to our own tax money, in the castle of Bebelsburg in Germany, which used to be the headquarters of Himmler during the Second World War, a place which was built with upon the sacrifice and the death also of many Jewish people who were used as a slave labor for this castle that basically had this temple, low chamber, where they celebrated these rituals in trance. And then there was the smoke, so they go up to the upper chamber. And you can still go and visit this place because it's a museum these days. It's been reopened as a museum. But at the time, in the 80s, it wasn't. And Michael Aquino did a couple of rituals there. And I also mentioned that, of course, in my book. When you were, we were actually discussing this show before we started, we mentioned Taylor Swift. There is a lot of talk about Taylor Swift today, you know, in the media. But I think that the most far out hypothesis that has been circulating is that Taylor Swift is the product of the daughter of Anton LaVey, Zina, and Nicholas Schreck, the former husband, who is also a very high-level member of the Satanist Illuminati. And Zina, at one point, walked out of the Church of Satan and was a high-level member. Actually, she was the head of the Temple of Set of Michael Aquino. And apparently, there is this... if we want to call it conspiracy theory, I don't know. I mean, it is basically an hypothesis. She looks very much like the young Zina, who used to go also on TV on those talk shows in the 80s. So if you compare Taylor Swift with Zina, you are kind of thinking, is she a clone of some kind? Is she a product how did Taylor Swift came together? So for those who don't know, Nicholas Schreck is the creator of a magic musical collective called Radio Werewolf, founded in 1984 in Los Angeles. And he was also the guy who did a documentary and interviewed personally Charles Manson. So... they look pretty alike, no? There is a similarity there. Of course, this could be simply a internet legend, but I must say that this story has a lot of points that make it quite credible.
And Leo, let me show you one video real quick, because I want to, it ties in Anton LaVey and Taylor Swift. And so this is a video of someone saying that, okay, here's proof that Taylor Swift is using satanic hand symbols to cast spells, right? So let me play this. It's like about, you know, half a minute, but let me play this and we'll get your thoughts on this and see if there's any validity to this or if it's another just kind of groundless, baseless idea.
So in this video, you can clearly see she's throwing up the devil horns over here, right?
Dave, what are you doing?
I'm giving a blessing to the audience.
I don't think they appreciate it. They were throwing it back.
Well, they thought it was a curse. Would you like me to show them how the sign of the curse works?
The sign
completely
of the curse?
Different.
How does it go?
No, not at you. Not at you people out there in the audience. But this is the difference.
Aim it toward Red China, would you?
This is the sign of the horns. A curse sign, the two fingers extended this way, spread apart for sort of shotgun blast, you know.
I always
all
figured
over.
If I ever met the devil, it'd have dirty fingernails. Go on.
The other ones, too.
Yeah, what are the other ones?
The other ones, one of them's the pox sign, that's three fingers extended.
A pox on you?
A pox on you during the Middle Ages. This
gotcha, bitch!
So, I mean, what do you think of that? Is that an indication that maybe there are these satanic occult things behind that, and that there are these spells and there are curses being cast on people that engage in listening to this music?
Well, I mean, of course, we see, for example, and I wrote about in volume 8, the connection, the direct connection that we have with Satanism with Lady Gaga. When she did her documentary for Netflix, instead of choosing any kind of music, she chose the soundtrack, one of the most evil soundtracks ever, made by Bobby Bezalel in prison, after he was arrested for participating to the murders of the family of Charles Manson. And so this music, which was used then for the soundtrack of Lucifer Rising, which is this movie of Kenneth Anger, was actually a substitute to another soundtrack that was not used, was ditched by Kenneth Anger, and that soundtrack was made by Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin. But then they argued, and so he used Bobby Bezalel. But Bobby Bezalel is an incredible character. After that, after Lady Gaga used his music, he had the courage to search for an appeal here in California so he could finally be freed. he was rejected. The appeal was, thanks God. I mean, I know the Newsom is satanic and California is a place I'm living here, but unfortunately it's in the hands of the enemy. But they didn't want to free at least Bobby Bezalel, because I think that would have been pretty outrageous. Let's remember that the Tate LaBianca murders are some of the most brutal murders ever, and also were built with the instigation idea of the race war, which now it actually seems to be very popular these days, the race war. I mean, nowadays it's the Democrats who want to, in fact, start a race war. It's not, so, and the Democrats very much love everything that comes out of these occult milieus. Now, when it comes down to Taylor Swift and the use of certain symbols during her concerts, but also the symbology that she uses, I saw other clips of her music. It's obvious that she is just the last of a very long line of people who has been using and abusing these occult elements. I don't think they even make a secret anymore about the use of the occult. It's pretty evident. They even at times admit it, the public, saying, oh, well, I signed myself a deal with Satan, I'm fine, whatever, or I signed off to Satan, so I'm great. I can continue here in this business forever. And I mean, and I'm not talking only of Bob Dylan, but also many others who did the same lately. So it's like almost cool to have signed a pact with the devil. But the consequences of a pact with the devil are very serious. And so, I mean, these people might rule here in the kingdom of materialism, but when they end up dead, they will probably rot in hell.
That's a good point. Well, Leo, we have to actually conclude. But before we do sign off, I want to bring up your website, encourage people to check out your website. You've got a lot of very good information on here. Also your books, just by they're on the site, but also Amazon, whatnot. Leo Zagami, you've got many books with another volume coming out. And I just want to say, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate your perspective. You are someone that makes me think deeply about things. You're not someone that just repeats things that you've heard. You come from deep research and experience, which I think is important. And I just want to, again, thank you very much for coming on the show. It was a fascinating conversation.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on. And I hope that next time we can dig deep in my latest book on Islam and the secret societies around this religion, which is so influential today. And to understand a little bit more, I think, serves the purpose of making us all more aware, less ignorant, and also less hateful. Because hate doesn't bring you anywhere, and we need to bring a little bit more peace to this world, which is on the verge of the abyss. Of course, they would like us to just move further into this abyss and then finally probably get all blown up by a nuclear explosion. But we want to continue living on this planet peacefully. We have to understand also the reasons of the other parties involved. And so thank you for really giving me this opportunity today with Man in America.
Absolutely.
And, bless America as a new American. God bless America.
Thank you very much. Take care. Folks, at the very heart of our democracy lies a principle we hold sacred, free speech. It's the cornerstone that supports every freedom we cherish. Yet in today's digital age, discussions about our wealth, our rights, and our future are being silenced or overshadowed in mainstream narratives, leaving many feeling voiceless in conversations crucial to our financial independence and security. This is where wealth protection research steps in, armed with a mission that's never been more critical. Wealth Protection Research is not a financial advisory firm. They're defenders of free speech committed to giving a voice to the silenced. Wealth Protection Research tirelessly seeks out financial experts. These are the voices that challenge prevailing narratives, especially as we navigate the uncertainties of the 2024 election. Wealth Protection Research has created a 2024 Election Wealth Protection Report. This free report highlights the three best ideas for protecting and growing your money heading into the 2024 election. It contains ideas the mainstream media won't even touch, and listeners can get it completely free. So text IDEAS to 76626 to claim your free copy. If you believe in the sanctity of free speech and the importance of financial freedom, then act now. So text IDEAS to 76626 to claim your free copy of this 2024 Election Protection Report. It's time to widen the scope of what we're told, to hear the ideas the establishment does not think you can handle, and to take control of our financial destinies. So folks, today, text IDEAS to 76626 to claim your free copy.